Before we begin, I was told there's going to be 25 to 30 more people here today than yesterday. And looking at where everybody's seated, I think everybody has to move forward based upon what the crowd was yesterday. So all of you that are seated somewhere, all of you that are seated somewhere, please move forward. Because you know what will happen. People will come in later, and then in the middle of the class we'll have to do it again. So, somehow the temperature seems to be cooperating also. It was much hotter previously, and now it's a little cooler. Okay, pretty good. So, in our Japa retreat language, this is 64 round day. A little background on where that one comes from. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you might be interested to hear this, those of you that are a little newer to chanting, he recommended that chanting grow in increments of 4 rounds. 4 rounds and 8 rounds and 12 rounds and 16 rounds, and then keep going. Within 64 rounds, so that's 16 rounds times 4, there's roughly 100,000 names of Krishna, 1 lakh of names. We know that Haridas Thakur chanted 3 lakhs of names every day. Like, there was some question about how swiftly we should chant. Let's do a little math. If it takes 2 hours to chant 16 rounds, how many hours does it take to chant 64? 4 times 2 is 8. That's 1 lakh. Takes 8 rounds. And 3 lakhs takes 24 hours. So we can reasonably say that Haridas Thakur chanted his rounds more quickly than 2 hours for every 16 rounds. You know, that's Haridas Thakur, it's not us. But very, very focused, and sometimes he didn't have time to sleep, sometimes he didn't have time to eat, sometimes he didn't have time for anything. He didn't have time for a prostitute who came to see him. He didn't have time. Trying to induce him to fall down, saying, oh, I surely will satisfy you, but I have to finish my... So he did it, this 3 lakhs of names a day over a period of a month. So sometimes he had completed his chanting, had a little more time. Of course, when he became very old, it was very difficult, so he didn't even eat because he had to complete his chanting. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke about nirbandha. Nirbandha means like nirbandha Krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagya uchate. Bandha means bondage or bound, and nirbandha is very, very strongly bound. This is the language, the term that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to describe those who are fixed in the chanting of the holy name. And he, at one point, made a declaration in Puri that he would only accept invitations for lunch at the homes of those who were Lakeshwara. And people thought, oh, this doesn't sound right. Somebody has to be very rich. They have to have 1 lakh of rupees, otherwise he won't eat at their home. But they didn't want to say that. They thought, why is he speaking like this? So finally, Srupa Damodara said, people are asking, why are you speaking like this? He said, not people that are rich that have 1 lakh of rupees, but people that chant 1 lakh of names a day. I'll only take meal at the home of those who chant 1 lakh of names a day. That was in Puri. And going forward over time, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur made the statement that those who are not chanting 1 lakh of names a day in the Gaudiya Math during this time, then we will find that they will be filled with material desire. So everyone in the Gaudiya Math should chant 1 lakh of names a day. That was the standard. He made exception for those that were very active in the preaching mission. They would chant 16 rounds a day, but otherwise that was the standard, 1 lakh of rounds every day. So we're going to have that experience of chanting 1 lakh of names a day, not 1 lakh of rounds, but 1 lakh of names. And it takes a good part of the day. So what to speak of chanting 64 rounds every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. We'll have a sense of what it means to do that, what the internal experience is in the course of one day if we complete it. By the way, those that are unable, that's fine. Don't feel pressured. You complete what you feel you can complete. For those that wish, because they, that's the nice standard for them, quoted for them, we'll have an afternoon class just discussing some nice topics. But for those that are chanting 64 rounds, it's very nice. A little history within ISKCON of how it became 16 rounds. Maybe you're familiar with this history, but the first initiation at 26 Second Avenue, it's written in Lilamrita, where Srila Prabhupada called in Mukunda. Now, Mukunda Goswami, but Mukunda Prabhu, Mukunda Das Adhikari, and his wife. And he gave them a little oral exam before initiation. He asked them, who is Krishna? And Mukunda said, only Krishna is God. He's the supreme being. Our duty is to worship and serve him. Prabhupada said, very good. You should chant 64 rounds every day with your beads. Mukunda writes, I was shocked and could not answer. I did not know if there was any need to answer. I just kept looking at Swamiji. And he looked at me. After some time he said, or at least you can chant 32 rounds a day. Still silent, I thought. I consider it to be very difficult to chant even 16 rounds. How could I possibly chant 32 rounds? After some time, Swamiji said, at the very least, you must chant 16 rounds every day. So when initiation took place, Prabhupada would often say, 16 rounds minimum, meaning that he was encouraging more than 16 rounds, but 16 rounds minimum. And on the Kadasi days and on appearance days of the Lord, increasing chanting is a practice that he encouraged and a common practice for devotees. But 16 rounds minimum. And those of you that have had the experience of on Janmashtami day or Nirjala Kadasi day or some other japa retreat or some other circumstance where you chanted 64 rounds, physically chanting 64 rounds is not difficult. The difficulty is not making the sound come out. The difficulty is the mind. And where the mind likes to go and where the mind doesn't like to go, the struggle is an internal struggle. We spoke yesterday about relationship or restoring our relationship with Krishna. The living entity is eternally related in relationship with Krishna, where emanations from Krishna, like sparks from a fire, emanate from the fire. We have a natural relationship with Krishna. Bahir Mukha Jeev, according to Jiva Goswami, a living entity in this conditional state has turned attention away from Krishna. Prabhupada gives the example of when you're looking at the sun, you only see the sun. You don't see darkness. You only see light. But when you turn your back to the sun, you only see shadow. You don't see light. And this material world is that shadow place. And in the shadow, having been in that shadow place for so long, it's very difficult to turn our attention to Krishna. It's like, squinting, get out your sunglasses, and looking at Krishna is difficult. So while we're chanting 64 rounds, or chanting extra rounds, even chanting at all, there's this conditioned tendency that turns us away from Krishna. It's not innate for the soul. What's innate and natural for the soul is in relation to Krishna. So, japa retreat, this 64 round day, is an opportunity specifically to bring our attention to Krishna. And one of the exercises that we did yesterday was that the mind prompting you, there's so many things to do, because that's our conditional life, where we have so many things to do. There's so much to do. And the mind is dictating this thing, that thing, because that's how you're responsible. You do this thing, and you do that thing, and our life is filled up with so many things, except for one thing. Turning our attention to Krishna. So this is a day, the determination for all of us is this day, just this one thing. All of the other things, they'll take place in due course of time. Just this one thing. And this is a very good practice when you're chanting your japa every day. It's very sacred time. It's the most important part of your day. It's time with Krishna, that part of your day. With it best, it's early in the morning. How many were able to get up early this morning to do some chanting? In anticipation of a long day of chanting is very nice. Every day is very nice. But during that period of time, here's a practice daily and a practice today. practice daily is those things that are important. Here's a multiple choice question. If you're very Krishna conscious and those things that you have to do, will you do them better if you're very Krishna conscious or if you're kind of splayed out in your Krishna consciousness? Very easy to answer. Very easy to answer. Very easy to answer. I've had the experience of having devotees monitor their sadhana. In fact, there's a sadhana chart. There's different sadhana charts. You know, I like the simpler one. But those that have diligently tracked their sadhana, their daily chanting, the experience, 100%, not most of the time, 100% is those days, it's even day by day, when I chant with attention, the day goes very smoothly. Boom, 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 boom. And those days that I don't chant nicely, even simple things become a struggle, and struggling things become impossible, and impossible things are overwhelming, and it's all based upon one thing. The quality of chanting. And rising early helps quality chanting because it's before normally people are doing things. It's the mode of goodness hours of the day where even the ether and the sun and, you know, the air and the mode of nature is, mode of goodness is more prominent. Best time. Scripture says and experience says, best time. So our 64 rounds are not going to be with all of that. Because they're, so it's like, okay, now it's the busy part of the day, 9 o'clock. Let's go to work and do my stuff. And so the mind is going to want to go there. And the advice today is same as when you're chanting your rounds early in the morning. This is the most important part of my day. If I can do this nicely, what will happen when those other things come? Krishna will help me. I'll be more present with Krishna and therefore wiser decisions. Things will happen more effectively, less waste of time by spiritual empowerment. Just if I do this one thing. And so in the broader picture of the unfolding of our lives, this japa retreat is to help us fix that principle. So practice it throughout the day. When the mind wants to go somewhere and think about doing something or lament about something in the past or try to fix something that you can't fix that happened previously, you can't go there. Mind wants to go there. Just tell the mind with determination, this is time with Krishna. I'm just going to be in my relationship with Krishna, be present with Krishna, let my consciousness touch Krishna's holy name. And continue to make that effort, even if the mind wanders here, wanders there, bring the mind back with determination to that one place, relationship with Krishna place. Just this day. Tomorrow, we'll worry about it. Just today. 64 rounds. And what happens when that determination is made is Krishna reciprocates. Two nice examples. One is Gajendra Moksha. King Indradumna was cursed, he became an elephant, so now he's not just an elephant, he's a king of elephants. A lot of other she-elephants and other little elephants, and he's like the big, macho king of elephants. So as the king of elephants, he's bathing in a lake, and the other elephants come out, and he's still bathing, and the alligator comes and chomps on his leg. So he's fighting, he's a king of elephants, powerful. And he's becoming weaker and weaker, according to the Bhagavatam, 100 years That's a long battle. Fighting. He was becoming weaker. The alligator was the same strength. Then he had a realization. I'm finished. As I'm getting weaker, he's not getting weaker. It's only a matter of time. I'm finished. And then, as we know, super soul from within. Because he was, his material shelters were gone. And when his material shelters were gone, where did he have to turn? His previous life's activity, the sadhana that he did as King Indradumna, came to his mind as an elephant body. He started saying the stotras, and as he was reciting the stotras, from his side, it was really sincere. It was desperate. And what happened? The Supreme Lord understood. Oh, before he was just reciting some prayers. But now he's reciting with great feeling. It came. With the Sudarshan Chakra, he released Gajendra from the clutches of the crocodile. Now what about us in our 64 round day? We can just numerically chant, but our purpose is, we make a vow, 64, but the essence is not the 64, the essence is relationship. The sense of calling out with dependence. And when you try sincerely, going back a couple of steps, try sincerely to just dedicate this day to being in your relationship with Krishna, you'll discover humility. Because it doesn't happen just by, okay, now I'm going to do it. Because it's a spiritual event. It's not a material event. It says, okay, now I'm going to do it. I'm going to study and I'm going to get that grade and I'm going to get that degree and I'm going to get that job and I'm going to succeed. You know, etc. All those different things that we're too much familiar with. There's different set of rules with spiritual activity. It's not just a matter of, okay, I'm going to do it. It doesn't happen like that because the material energy has got control. We're spirit soul, but we're under control of the material energy due to such long entanglement in this independent spirit trying to be enjoyers. So we're captured by that energy. So you try to get free from that energy and it's like Gajendra. Because the material energy is under Krishna's control. Krishna can tell the material energy let go. But for so long it's been, you know, let me be the enjoyer. So Krishna wants to see that humility, that genuinely calling out with dependence. I'll give you two visual images. They may be helpful in the course of your chanting 64 rounds today. In Mayapur, we have our GBC meeting rooms on the top floor, above the fourth floor of the Conch building. So to get to the top floor, the fifth floor of the Conch building, you have to walk up a long flight of stairs. And that's, you know, exercise is good, long flight of stairs. But it became difficult as some of our GBC members got a little older, particularly for Jack Patakamaraj to ride up and down in his wheelchair. So I didn't know exactly what was going on, I found out later. They planned to build a elevator shaft. Now there's an elevator. But before there was an elevator, they were building the shaft. And I recall specifically walking up a flight of stairs, and there was a bird sitting in a little bird nest. And the bird nest was like really rustic. It was like 10 little sticks that she somehow put together and sat there while everybody's going up and down the stairs. And you could see her eyes watching people coming, going up, coming down, just sitting there, like attached to her little nest. I couldn't figure it out, because like, even if you go like that, she just like opens her eyes wider, but she wouldn't move. She was like in her little comfort zone, her nest, her space. And we're like that. You know, I mentioned yesterday, we have our comfort zone, and even we come out to the Brazos Bend State Park, and we're carrying our minds with us, and all of the stuff that we have to do, and it's like that little bird sitting in that little nest. We're attached to our way of being, and our sense of who we are, and our upadis, and the whole package. This is an opportunity to move from that space to a relationship with Krishna space. And try to do it and you'll experience humility. But it's great, because your effort plus the recognition of your inability to do so, that's humility. And when you're calling out with humility, then Krishna's saying, oh, they're depending on me. So I didn't take a picture of that bird sitting there looking, watching, but there's another picture that I have in my computer. And it's a picture of three little baby birds that don't have their feathers yet. They're in a nest. And there's the, mother and father bird. And one of the, I guess it's the mother bird, is there bringing something to eat. A worm or something yummy like that. And the birds have their necks really stuck out with their mouths wide open. You can't hear them chirping, but you can imagine they're chirping, and they're completely dependent on the mother bird feeding them. If the mother bird didn't feed them, they're finished. Because they can't go and get their own food, and they're eager. Necks stretched. Mouths open. So in that mood, call on Krishna's name. In a mood of helplessness. Another little Prabhupada story. This was in New York, in the Brooklyn, Prospect Park in Brooklyn. And Prabhupada was going for a morning walk. And it was in the late fall, early winter. It had become very cold that night, and so there was like a little film of ice over the lake, little pond. And so Prabhupada was walking along the path, like, paved path in the park, and he saw over there there was a pond. So he just like took a right angle turn and went over to the pond. So everyone like followed Prabhupada, like little ducklings following mother duck. And he went to the edge of the pond and looked into the pond. And there were a group of ducks that came swimming, and they even broke that little film of ice just to come. And they were doing like that with their quacking. You get, because people that go to parks feed the ducks. So, Prabhupada pointed with his cane and said, what is the lesson? We didn't know what the lesson was. And Prabhupada looked very sternly and said, the duck that quacks the loudest gets the bread. And then just went back to the road and took off. The duck that quacks the loudest gets the bread. If you feel yourself like Gajendra, dependent upon Krishna, Krishna comes. Another narration, same message. This is Draupadi speaking to Krishna. After the scene where Draupadi was being attempted to be disrobed and she called upon Krishna and Krishna came. Later, Draupadi was having a conversation with Krishna and said, Krishna, why did you wait so long? It was very difficult. Dushyasana is so strong. And Krishna said, you weren't calling me. But you're our only shelter. He said, yes, but first you were turning to Bhishma Dev, looking for Bhishma Dev for a solution. You didn't need me. And then you turn to Dhritarashtra and looking for Dhritarashtra to make a solution. You turn to your husbands and you're looking for your husbands to make a solution. But when you called my name, I came at once. When you called dependent upon me, I came at once. This is chanting where the purpose of chanting is eagerness to receive this descending mercy of the holy name. There's the doership mentality is the product of the mode of passion. The mode of passion says, I want, I'll do, and I'll get. Starts with the desire, mode of passion, and then keeps going, mode of passion. I need material intelligence, so with my material intelligence and my abilities, I'll take care of it. Mode of passion. Mode of goodness is different. Mode of goodness, I make some effort, but I understand my effort alone is insufficient. I'm depending upon mercy. So, something that you might find helpful in the course of today and your future chanting is take up chanting not in the doership mentality where I'm going to chant 64 rounds or I'm going to chant with great attention. We should have determination. We make our effort. But chanting where it's in the mood of receiving mercy, because that's what it is. We're in a relationship with Krishna or trying to restore our broken relationship with Krishna, and we're dependent upon Krishna's merciful glance for that to happen. And if we're in that mood of depending upon Krishna, it's a whole other experience from Krishna's side as well as what we experience from our side. Try it. Chant in the mood of receiving as opposed to the mood of doing. Novel. One other example is I forget his name. The father Prataparudra's father, King Purushottam. King Purushottam, I think is his name. King Purushottam wanted to have an arrangement for his son's marriage. So, there was one king from South India who had a princess. So, a messenger went from King Purushottam to this other South Indian king, would you consider your daughter, princess, to be married to my son? And the invitation was accepted, and I will come and pay a visit, and we will have some direct dialogue. So he came to Puri at the time of Jagannath Rath Yatra, and he witnessed at Jagannath Rath Yatra that the king took off his royal dress, put on simple, humble dress, and took a golden-handled broom and was sweeping in front of the deity of Lord Jagannath. The king became furious. He left the Rath Yatra, sent a messenger back saying, my daughter's not going to marry any street sweeper. So King Purushottam was insulted. He said, all right, I'll declare war and kidnap the daughter and bring the daughter back forcibly and marry my son. I'll show him. He says, anyone who insults Lord Jagannath in this way, I can't tolerate that. So with his whole army, he went to the South India kingdom, fighting valiantly for the honor of Lord Jagannath and the servants of Lord Jagannath. And his whole army was defeated. And he was astonished. He came back, humiliated and disturbed, and spoke with his ministers and said, how is this possible? I went to defend the honor of Lord Jagannath, and I was defeated. So his minister said, before you took your whole armies to go fight this battle, to protect the honor and name of Lord Jagannath, did you go before Lord Jagannath and offer your prayers, seeking his blessings? I said, oh, I forgot to do that. So go do that. And then take your armies once again, and you'll be victorious. Jagannath and Balaram will help you personally. You seek their personal blessings. So he did that. And as he was traveling with his armies heading in the southerly direction, they stopped at one village, one place, for supplies. For their, because as they say, an army travels on its stomach. You heard that one before? So they stopped to get some supplies, some clay pots for cooking and some other items for their travel. And when they stopped at one of the shops, the lady came out and supplied them everything that they wanted, even without asking. And the king said, well, how did you know that we need these? And let me make some payments. She said, oh, payment has already been received. There were two, one very white and one very black, riding on horses. And they came and they requested these items and as the advance party, and they gave this jewel, see? And the king immediately recognized the jewel that he had personally given to Lord Jagannath. Lord Jagannath was the advance party, making sure that everything would be successful. He was fully convinced. You keep the jewel. This is Lord Jagannath's mercy. And he went and he was victorious. And the king surrendered, sent his daughter back to Puri, or rather the arrangement to be made that the marriage would take place and then that the daughter would come and reside with his son. Message is, even we're undertaking something that's Krishna conscious for Krishna's pleasure, we require mercy. Specific, explicit, calling, praying, requesting mercy. It's good. It's not bad. It's something that we should cultivate in our lives in general, and specific for our 64-round day, chanting in that mood, calling for Krishna, please help. I want to be in my relationship with you today, fully. But my mind is too difficult on my own. I can't do this. In our Seattle Japa retreat, there's one devotee, Mataji, that periodically would, in the course of the 64-round day, would just reach up with her arms like this, her hand on her bead bag, and reach up like this. So we're doing our sharing at the end, the next day. We'll do that tomorrow morning in Gurunga Hall. So we were going around the room, people were sharing, and she volunteered to share, and I asked her, when you do this, what's that? She said, when my mind is not cooperating and I want to be focused upon my relationship with Krishna's holy name, I'm reaching like a small child to the parents. Please help me. We all know that gesture. The child goes like this. It's universal. Doesn't matter what language, culture, anything. Everybody knows what that means. So, whether you physically do like that, or from your heart you do like that, or combination, call out. I want to serve you. I want to be in my relationship with you. I'm unqualified. I'm undeserving. I've been rudely and foolishly turned away from you. Kindly accept me. Please help me. In that mood of feeling our legitimate dependence upon Krishna, take that up when those periods of struggle come, and bring the mind back to that main purpose of our 64-round day, being focused in our relationship with Krishna as much as we can, and take strength from the association of the other devotees. This isn't a big space, but the air conditioning is here. So stay, we mentioned this yesterday, as much as possible, try, stay. If you have to get up and take a walk, fine, get up and take a walk and then come back. And you'll find that chanting wasn't better than the chanting in the association of devotees. But you may feel you need to do that, and that's okay. It's okay. Take a little walk and stretch your legs and fresh air. But stay focused on the name when you take a walk. Stay focused on the commitment of relationship with Krishna. Just this one day. And it will empower the rest of your life of chanting the holy name by doing it nicely. It will give you impetus to do it nicely tomorrow and the next day and the next day. So there's one last thing I'd like to do. This is also just like something that you might find helpful. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving, I'm going to recite, 5, you can say, tips for chanting nicely. And here's his, the paraphrase of his writing in Bengali. When chanting japa, remember Krishna's name with affectionate respect. In other words, you added an affective or a feeling component to the activity, not just the activity. In relationship with Krishna, whether the feeling is affection, although my heart may be hard and dry, there's a natural affection that's there. And extend that with respect. Second, very singular, Krishna's name alone. Let your attention, like Vyavasayatmi Ka Bhuti Ekeha Kuru Nandana, like that verse from Bhagavad Gita. Very singular attention upon Krishna, or in Rupa Goswami's language, love is singular. So upon Krishna, the object of love, bring your attention there. Just this one thing, and through this one thing, Lord Chaitanya teaches, faith means to acknowledge or to trust that by accomplishing one thing, all other desirable things will be simultaneously accomplished. Like a faith of a materialist is get money. Money, 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 get money. Because if you get money, all the other things will be there, so get money. And an athlete is win. Train and compete and win. Because if you win, every other thing that you want will be accomplished. So you gotta win first. Etc. So training and diet and exercise and everything is behind this one thing, win. And so forth. For a devotee, it's this one thing. This Krishna's name. Because from Krishna's name, all other desirable things, spiritual and material, will come. Next, he speaks of purity as kind of the flip side. Other things don't belong there. So if something else comes into the mind, and cleansing is like that, classic example that Prabhupada gave is Kurandar, who during Prabhupada's time was a fantastic manager, LA temple president, kind of like a wizard with organization, because it was very complex with no real systems, and he was such a good manager. But he confided in Srila Prabhupada that before I became a devotee, my mind was more peaceful. And I'm doing all this management, my mind is so filled with stuff. What to do? Am I doing something wrong? Prabhupada gave the example that you go into a room that hasn't been cleaned in decades, and you turn on the light, the first thing is you see all the dirt and the accumulated dust, and you start cleaning. And what happens when you start cleaning? The dust goes flying all over the place. Continue cleaning, and after that cleaning and cleaning and cleaning, finally the place becomes clean and it's very inviting, sparkling. But in the process of cleaning, something that's been neglected for so long is going to be disturbing. So somebody was sharing with me just yesterday, so many things when I, you know, like the statement that Krandar made. Before, I was more peaceful. Now, so many impure, so many things I've done in the past, I wasn't recognizing they were impure, but that they're coming into my mind. It's just when chanting. What do I do? Continue chanting. And you tolerate those things. You don't latch on to them or meditate on them or do not invest consciousness in them. Discard them. And bring your attention to the holy name. That's strive for purity. Let go of those impure things. Fourth, avoid speaking uselessly. This is for us, it's Mona. Just as a reminder, from the time that the class ends, it'll be very different. You'll notice it. Everyone will be silent. Instead of like immediately conversation. And it's powerful. So, otherwise, avoid speaking uselessly. Prajalpa. Speak about Krishna, that's nice. And otherwise, avoid speaking uselessly. The tendency just to say something, or say something, or say something, or another something, or another something. Just fill that space with something. So avoid that. That's a fourth item about improving chanting. Use the tongue for one purpose and not for other purpose. And the fifth item is also from Hari Bhakti Vilas, but it's you contemplate on the meaning. In the Gajendra Moksha Lila, he never mentioned the name of the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada comments in his Acharya's comment. Lord Shiva didn't come, Lord Brahma didn't come, but Lord Vishnu came. Not because he called Lord Vishnu's name, but it was very clear to both Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, he's not calling me, because he's calling the Supreme Personality of Godhead in various ways of describing Him. And His heart was set in that way. And therefore, Lord Vishnu came. So, when chanting, contemplate who it is that we're calling. Not mechanical, but as I was describing, like this, the Ajamila Lila. When Lord Vishnu heard, or Narayana heard, Ajamila calling his name, the Lord felt something. He felt, he's calling my name. I must come and protect him. That's the nature of the person whose name we're calling. He's very, we may be dull, we may be hard-hearted. He's not. He's very affectionate, very loving. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's advice is contemplate the meaning of the mantra, the spirit of the mantra, the person whom we're calling, and enter into the spirit of the hymn in Prabhupada's language. So, some of those items may be of help, an asset, a tool to help in the course of the day. So I'm going to end so that we can carry on with our 64 rounds. Breakfast is ready?
It's ready.
Yes?
Maybe, yes.
5 minutes or ready?
It's ready. Yes, it is ready.
Okay. So good luck, all of you. You know where the air conditioner is? There's Tulsi in the middle of the room. There's Srila Prabhupada. There's mantra signs. There's the vibrant devotees calling Krishna's holy name. There's Krishna in your heart who is recognizing your sincerity. And have a nice time associating with Krishna today. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.